إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والى بعد. My brothers and sisters, we come to the last of the series on being an ummah, and today we look at the three things which are detrimental to being an ummah. We looked at the three things which support and build that relationship, the brotherhood of faith. Today we look at the three things that do the opposite, which break up and which subvert the brotherhood itself. The first of them is suspicion. Suspicion is a terrible evil because there is no defense against it. If you suspect somebody of something, there is no way that person can defend himself or herself against the suspicion, because the suspicion is coming out straight from your mind. There is no reason for the suspicion. You may think there is a reason, because if you ask that person who is suspecting, you say, well, why do you think so? They will give you some reason. This happened, that happened, you know, there was a noise in the night, or this person went out, and so on. All of which would be perfectly innocuous and innocent things, but you choose to see something else behind it. So there is no defense against suspicion. And suspicion is like a cancer. It just grows until the relationship breaks up. So whether it's a marriage, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a brotherhood, eventually there is only one end to that, which is a breakup. The cure for suspicion is to trust. Just as you suspect without a reason, you trust without a reason. Alhamdulillah, if a person has not given you a reason not to trust, why would you not trust? So suspicion is a very bad thing. And again, all of these things which I am saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in Surah Al-Hujurat. And there is a series of lectures of mine, there is a book also, which is called Akhlaq of the Ummati. I will ask Umair to send the link with this. Please read it and listen to the lectures. Allah mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, inna ba'da zanni ism. Allah said that suspicion is sin. So if you suspect without cause, then you are actually committing a sin. The second big issue is spying and digging out things, bad things, negative things about people. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this clearly. La tajassasu. Allah said, do not spy on one another. Again, Surah Al-Hujurat. So, spying is the other one. And because of spying, other things happen, which is that you end up talking about people, you end up doing ghibat about people, you end up asking all kinds of questions about people. So, unnecessarily going into people's lives and trying to, find out what was he doing, what was she doing, why are you interested, what is your problem? Right? Let them do anything. People's private lives are private lives. Leave them alone. There is no need for you to go and, dig into people's private lives and find out this and find out that. Even if you find out, what will you do? If you want to help, then just be there. If somebody wants to ask your help, they will ask you. If they have not asked you, don't go and dig and find out and try and do all that. Again, it's a very dirty habit. Sometimes people ask me, this issue today nowadays of social media and smartphones and so on. And somebody once said, my wife has a password on her phone so that I can't see the messages. So, should she have a password or not? So, I said to him, the first question you should ask is, why does she have a password? That itself tells me quite a lot about the relationship between you and your wife. And if she has a password, then leave it alone, right? If she thinks there is a reason for a password. The thing is, it's not a question of saying, does she have something to hide or does he have something to hide. That's not the point. Just because you have nothing to hide, you don't walk around naked. You know, this is the whole issue of privacy. Somebody says, why do you need privacy? So then walk around naked. You know, I don't need privacy. I don't have anything that you don't have, so who cares? I mean, that's an absolutely ridiculous way of thinking. The point is that people have a right to privacy, and if they are being private, it does not mean there is anything wrong. It does not mean they have something to hide. I have nothing to hide, but I don't want you to see it. I do not want you inside my phone. I don't want you in my diary. I don't want you in my bedroom. Right? That does not mean that I am hiding something. I am not hiding anything, but I have a right to my privacy. Simple as that. Whether it's a wife or a husband or a child or something, parents are also needlessly suspecting and intrusive into the lives of their children. We must learn to trust one another. This is very, very critically important. And as far as the Ummah is concerned, this is what's destroying us. This whole issue of this jasusi and, suspicion and spying. The third one, which is the biggest killer, is ghibat. Now, ghibat is an outcome of these things, right? It's a backbiting is an outcome of these things. Slandering is another one which comes with it. And namima, which is implying things by gestures or by intonation in the voice or something. You are actually not saying anything in words, but you have implied. You have destroyed somebody's character, you have attacked somebody's character just by your tone or just by a gesture or something. And then if somebody says, why are you doing that? You say, no, I never said anything. You never said anything, but you said everything. Right? So this ghibat. Ghibat is such a dirty thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. Allah said that this is disgusting for you. This example is, you have karahiyat for this example. So Allah said, leave that. It is as bad as that. We know one of the mu'jizat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that these two women were brought to him. They said, these two women have terrible pain, stomach cramps for many days now, and we tried all kinds of treatments, they don't work. So please do something. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make them vomit. And they actually vomited out lumps of flesh, lumps of raw meat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is what they have been doing. They are doing ghibat, they are doing their backbiting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a mu'jiza, as a miracle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually got them to bring out what he mentioned in the Quran, which is lumps of meat. The other big issue with ghibat, with backbiting, is that Rasulullah said, when you do this, do backbiting, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives your good deeds to the one who you are backbiting. Now, how futile is that? That you want to give your good deeds to the person you dislike. Obviously, backbiting is you are doing something to somebody you don't like. That's why Imam Al-Ghazali Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that if I wanted to backbite, then I will backbite my mother. He said, because at least my good deeds will go to my mother, not to some person who I don't even like. I mean, how? Really, it's totally futile. I mean, why would you want to? If you want to give your good deeds, give it to somebody you like. Why do you want to give your good deeds to someone you don't like? But this is what backbiting is. It's such a dirty thing. Now, in this context, sometimes there is a confusion, and this is what these people asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. They said, Ya Rasulullah, but the ban is like that. So if I have said something negative about a person, they said the person is like that. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is why it is backbiting. So to say something negative about somebody, which is true, but to say that in their absence, this is backbiting. So the whether it is true or not is not the point. The point is, because it is true, it is called backbiting. If it was not true, if you were making it up, then this is even worse. This is slander. This is buhtan. The person never said that. The person never did that. And you invented this story, right? So this is it's lying in the worst form. It is buhtan and it is slander. There's a story of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. You know, all of these stories, one of the things to, I want to draw to your attention. These stories all indicate the integrity of our Salaf. There is no need for a story like this to be in the Seerah. Right? What is the need to record this? Who would have recorded it? Sayyidah Aisha herself recorded this. Because it's not complimentary to her. I mean, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she mentioned another wife of Rasulullah, our mother Sauda radiallahu anha. And she said, she indicated with her hand to show that she is short and she is stout. Rasulullah said, Aisha, if these words were thrown into the ocean would become bitter. So Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, but I did not say anything bad and she is like that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is why it is backbiting. Now, she didn't curse her, she didn't, say anything bad in terms of her character. She is mentioning a physical reality of the lady, which is true. But despite that, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this very strong objection to this, and he said that if this was thrown into the ocean, it would make the ocean bitter. And when she said, but this is true, he said, that is why it is backbiting. Now, I'm saying that as on a side note, a very important side note, this also shows the integrity of our Salaf. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase their darajat and be pleased with them. They were people of such honesty that they recorded, they stated as it was. They did not think, oh, but this story is going to reflect badly on me, this won't look nice for me, you know, why should I say this? After all, there are so many. No. What was there, was there. Right? This was the lesson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also in the Quran, there are ayat which in Surah Al-Abasa, for example, one of the most famous ones, where it begins with that ayat. Abasa wa tawalla. Anja'ahu al-a'ma. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, when the blind man came, he frowned at him. He meaning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam frowned at the blind. Now the blind man, if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam frowned at him or smiled at him or The blind man is a blind man. He couldn't see it. In any case, the man could not see what the Prophet ﷺ did. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make a point, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this point as far as Rasulullah ﷺ is concerned and so on and so forth. But the thing is that again, this ayah, this is Nabi ﷺ, what came on him, he recited honestly and truthfully. He did not think, well, you know, this doesn't look good for me. After all, Allah is telling me personally, right? So this is fine. I won't frown at anybody after this. I correct myself. Why must this be in the Quran? Why must everybody know this? Why must this be recited, till the day of judgment? No. This is the integrity of the Nabi, alayhi salam. This is the integrity of the people who were with him. So, very important for us to also understand this and think about this and say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. We have such people who have brought this deen, and thanks to them we have this deen. And therefore, it is our responsibility also to carry this deen forward in the same way, with the same integrity, with the same truthfulness, and with the same, concern for fact and to stay away from anything which goes against that. So, these three things, suspicion, spying and backbiting, slandering, and as I said, namima, simply indicating by a signal or by expression or by intonation, which amounts to character assassination of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is like qatl. This is to play these games with people's character, with their reputation, is actually like killing them. So it is something which is as serious as that. We ask Allah to save us from this, and we ask Allah to make us among His slaves who He is pleased with and who will be counted among the truthful ummatis of Rasulullah. Final point to close. You might say, well, all of this is fine, but we have genuine differences with people. There are sects among Muslims, and we, because we belong to this particular sect, we consider the other sect to be completely deviated, we consider them to be on a false track and so forth. Yes, it is true, they are saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they are not changing that, but there are so many other things which they are doing which nullifies their kalima, which nullifies their aqidah, which is against the aqidah of tawheed and so on and so forth. How can we deal with them? My simple answer to that is, how do you deal with people who are not Muslim at all? How do you deal with Christians? How do you deal with Hindus? How do you deal with Sikhs? We are not talking. These people are not Muslim at all. Do you deal with them or you don't deal with them? Right. We deal with them. We deal with them very well. We do business with them. We socialize with them. We, you know, invite them to parties. We go to their party. We do all of this, right? So what is the difficulty with dealing with another person or group who at least say La ilaha illallah? Okay, you are a Barelvi, so at least the Deobandi or the Salafi, at least he is saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He is not saying there are two gods. He is not saying the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not the last prophet. So what is your problem with dealing with them? Vice versa, you know, you are a Salafi, you are a Hanafi, you are a Deobandi. What's your problem with dealing with the Shia? What's your problem with dealing with the Barelvi? After all, you are dealing with people who are not Muslim at all. You are dealing with people who are worshipping idols. What's your problem with dealing with somebody who said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? This is all created by Shaitan. All of these divisions and all of this enmity between Muslim groups is created purely and 100% by Shaitan. Allah said, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah did not say, لَا تَخْتَلِفُوا. Allah did not say, don't have a difference of opinion. Allah said, do not form sects and groups, don't fight with each other. This is something we need to remember and stay away from all of these divisions. Anyone who preaches that, discard them, throw them in the garbage, because they are garbage. Anyone preaching division is garbage. Throw them in the garbage, that's where they belong. Right, stay away from them. Let us talk about, we have so many, we have differences, yes, but we also have so many common issues. Issues of safety and security, issues of education, issues of the upbringing of children, issue of drug problems in our community, right? Issues of employment. Don't we have all these issues? Issues of marriages breaking up. These are all issues. These are all very serious issues. Everybody's got that. The Shia has got it, Sunni has got it, the Hanafi, the Shafi, the Hanbali, the Maliki, the Salafi, the Fi, the Nofi, everybody's got it. So leave whatever belief they have, let them stay with it. You stay with your own. I'm not saying you become like them, I'm not saying they become like you. Don't become like anybody. You stay with yours, let them stay with theirs. But talk to each other nicely, be polite to each other, be decent to each other, be kind to each other, show compassion to each other. Come together on good things, come together to create a community which is safe, alhamdulillah, where children are safe, where women are safe, where men are safe, a community which is caring, which is compassionate. Let us look, how can we create societies like this? It doesn't matter what people believe or don't believe, that is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave them alone. Right? If they come to you to ask, what do you think, what do you believe, please tell them by all means. If they come to you and ask what is right, what is wrong, you please explain to them what is right, what is wrong according to your system. Please remember, you are not getting wahi, they are not getting wahi either. So when I say what is right, I am saying what is right according to me. Right? It is not an absolute right. So therefore, let us understand that, let us be humble, let us focus on our own najat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us focus on our own deliverance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before sending other people into Jahannam. Allah did not send us into this world to cast people into the hellfire. That's not your job. Jannah does not belong to you, Jahannam does not belong to you. Allah is not going to ask for your opinion, who he should put where. So let us get our feet on the ground. Worry about your own najat. When you go into the qabr, are you going to meet some fire there, or are you going to meet the breeze of Jannah? Yesterday I was walking this Hyderabad, and in the monsoon is the most beautiful thing. I was walking the Chiran yesterday, in Chiran Palace, and there was absolutely beautiful breeze. Absolutely beautiful. So I made dua. I said, Ya Allah, make this, let this kind of breeze come to me in my khabar. Then immediately my thought was, the breeze that Allah will send will be superior to this, so why are you asking for this? So I said, Ya Allah, send me your breeze, not this one. Alhamdulillah, this. Why should I ask for this breeze? Allah will send better than this, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. May Allah give us najat, may Allah be pleased with us. May Allah use us among as the adhesive to keep this ummah together, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.